please? As soon as we get a council clerk, or maybe the city attorney could read item 776 for us.
All right, item 776, authorize acquisition of surplus property for municipal purposes at Southeast 3rd and Harrison Streets from the Oregon Department of Transportation, not to exceed $254,044.
So let me make an announcement that I made earlier, but make sure everyone understands what we are doing and not doing here this morning. The Oregon Department of Transportation has a number of pieces of property in the Central East Side which will be offered for sale. I intend for the city of Portland to buy all of them. Some of them are now occupied by dirt processing operations and others are empty. This is one of those pieces of property. The city has been discussing and continues to discuss whether or not we will grant a lease to Right to Dream 2 to move into this site as a location for a rest area. That is a separate decision. I'll say that again. That is a separate decision from the decision to buy the land. The only thing before the Portland City Council today and the only thing on which we will take testimony is whether or not we should buy the land. How we use that land, there are a variety of purposes. It could be used for parking, it could be used for development, it could be left fallow, it could be made a park. Lots of things could happen. And again, we make no decision about the use of the site today. We only make a decision about its purchase. The city, there's an amendment that I will need to introduce that says that resources are available and appropriated to fund this transaction. So I'll make that amendment in a moment. But again, both in the interest of time and clarity, I want to ask people that are interested in testifying today to testify only on the question of whether the city of Portland should buy this site. Again, there will be other ODOT properties that come to us as well for purchase, and I will intend to recommend that they all be purchased as well. Before I get to the amendment, Commissioner Fritz.
Further clarification that the ordinance authorizes the mayor to buy it. We're still in the process of doing environmental evaluation of the site. If it turns out that it's hazardous and costs a lot to clean up, then the mayor is not forced to buy it. It's just giving him the authority to do so.
Okay. So I want to ask that we take up an amendment before we open the hearing for testimony, and that is to make this change to item number 6 to say resources, not cross out the words general fund, resources are available and appropriated to fund this transaction. And then sub B, the mayor and auditor are authorized to pay the cost of acquiring the property from existing city resources, replacing the words the general fund. In other words, there are a variety of funds that are available to make these kinds of transactions, and it is not limited to the general fund.
Second.
Further discussion on the motion.
These other resources include the $849,000 provided by Hoyt Street Properties.
That's correct.
To the city.
They okay. include those as well. Yes. Okay. So further discussion on adopting the amendment, and then we'll hear from Mr. Keita.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Mr. Keita.
Good morning, Mayor, Commissioners. A lot of the information I have to provide you've covered, which is very nice. This is the property located Southeast 3rd and Harrison. There's not an actual address for it because of its previous right-of-way from the state of Oregon. State of Oregon declared this as surplus property in their intent to dispose of it on January 27, 2015. The city provided DAS with a notice or a notice of interest in the property on February 11th. ODOT delivered a certified appraisal on the property to the city April 14th of 2015 with a valuation of $254,044. The city began its due diligence activities mid-April, which are anticipated to be completed by the end of July of this year, which include the title review, use zoning review, site survey, which has been conducted, the phase one, phase two environmental, which include the soil, groundwater, geophysical, and air quality testing, again, to be completed by the end of July. And we will also continue to do our work to include studies for offset of loss of parking, those kinds of issues if the site is to be developed. Our preliminary findings do not indicate that there would be any significant environmental issues with developing the site based on the property's industrial zoning requirements. As you've already covered, there are multiple uses that we could look at this site being used for, including the R2, the MPU parking, and then other site developments, whether it's parks or other things. Site development permits would be required to work on this property. The zoning for the property, it's currently zoned as an industrial IG1. Its property is currently a state-owned fee simple right-of-way acquired through foreclosure. BDS has reviewed the foreclosure judgment from 1963 when ODOT acquired the property and has determined it can recognize the property as a lot of record through either the permit process for campgrounds and structures or other lot confirmation, again, for the zoning that's appropriate there. There are minimal development standards for the IG1 zone. There are zero setbacks from property lines for buildings. Fences are allowed along the property lines without height limit under 7 foot tall. PBOT may have some fence height limits for vehicle sight, line of sight vision, those kinds of things. So we'll have to watch that as we're developing this. There are zoning code screening requirements for this particular industrial zone. Using less than, buildings less than 10 feet from property line will require a 1 hour rated wall. A deed to be recorded after due diligence and completed, and of course that we move forward with this procurement, and we found that the conditions are acceptable for us moving forward to purchase this site. The deed includes restrictions that both the city and persons with whom the city allowed to use property must not breach without risking triggering ODOT to remedy problems and charge the city for the failure. That concludes what we really have on the property to date, and we expect to have the rest of our environmental studies done by actually in 2 weeks.
Okay, great. Thank you. Good morning.
Morning.
Anything to add?
Nothing to add, no.
Okay, questions?
Is it implicit that we would not buy this until we received a letter from DEQ of no further action required?
The current information we have on the phase one and phase two, actually for the zoning of the property, we have no significant issues. So it could be used for multiple things as it is today currently. So depending on what the city's proposed use and of the property, it's actually a good property to acquire as is.
So there's no significant subsurface contamination?
There's some contamination about 9 feet down, but it's very minor as compared to, some of the things that we've encountered on other properties, and it could be remedied easily.
Mm-hmm. Other questions? We may have more later. Thank you.
Okay.
We have people signed up to speak.
Yes, we have 13 people signed up. The first three, please, coming up are Terry Parker, Lightning Watchdog X, and Barry Joe Stull.
Okay, again, I just want to remind everybody the question is the purchase of the property.
And they'll be followed by Crystal, if she's here, Charles Johnson, and Debbie Kitchen.
And I'm going to ask you to try to limit your comments to 2 minutes, please. Go ahead.
Yes, my name is Terry Parker. I'm here speaking as an individual. And I'm not going to read what I'm handing out based on your comments. However, I'm going to give you a little bit of background. Monday, I looked at the city council hearing, and I didn't see anything that I was going to come down and testify on. Monday evening, all over the media, it was talking about what you're going to do with the property, move a homeless camp into the property, or relocate a homeless camp into the property. I again, yesterday, went back and looked at the council agenda, and this seemed to be the connection.
So, Terry, again, we're going to hold a hearing in the future.
I understand
if
that.
The council moves forward with putting.
I understand that. I understand
there.
That. Okay. I was just giving you the background of why I was here. But what I believe is that before you purchase this property, you have to give the purpose and the intent and the disclosure. That's transparent. You can't just say, I'm going to buy this property because it's available. Nobody does that. You're going to develop it. You're going to have an idea of what you're going to use it for. I think that you're missing the transparency here. You're losing the trust by not doing that. And I have a concern of, as an individual, of what's going to happen to that property and how it reflects some of the area around. In particular, the Rail Heritage Center, where there is historic equipment that is irreplaceable, that is stored. And in the past, people have broken into some of this.
Terry, your time's up. So let me clarify this again for future speakers. And that is, the Oregon Department of Transportation has at least 5 parcels in the Central East Side, which they are planning to surplus and sell. I plan to recommend to the Portland City Council that we purchase all of them and that we figure out, in each case, the appropriate use. There will be public discussions, including discussions that we're having with Southeast Uplift and others, about what those public uses should be, or private uses if we choose to sell those properties, because the Portland Development Commission might choose to purchase some of those properties and market them for development. So it's not an unusual event for one government to sell a piece of property to another. Of course, there has been extensive discussion about locating Right to Dream 2 on this site, and that is still a very real possibility, but we're not deciding that today.
I understand that. I'm just saying that I think you need to be transparent and propose, you know, look at what the use is going to be and say what you're proposing to use there.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. On this agreement, I have some real concerns on some of the restrictions. My understanding, you'll be paying all cash for this property. I'm very surprised on the deed that on number 3 that they would require that no junk, scrap, garbage, or anything be on this property once you take ownership of it. These deed restrictions, I think, are overreaching from them selling the property and requiring you, with them the right to come back and enforce that, enter the property, and do what they want to do by these restrictions. I think they're overreaching, and I think the attorneys need to look at this and understand this is an all-cash sale. These restrictions don't need to be on this property upon transfer. Another issue I have on the phase 2 environmental, if there is currently a concern at 9 feet down, on the phase 2, you normally drill down in certain locations of the property. How many areas have they drilled on this property? That needs to be looked at very close on the overall property itself to determine the environmental issues and the total cost to the city. As you know, you can acquire a property at said value, which seems to be a very reasonable price by the appraisal, and your environmental issue can cost you 3 to 4 times to clean this property up. So if the city is looking at this from an investment, from their position to be used for public good, I highly recommend that environmental phase 2 is looked at very close. That's my position at this time. Thank you.
Thank you. Helpful. Appreciate that. Thank you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Council. Barry Joe Stull. I have a little bit of history with how the city manages its property. I'm going to reference the undeveloped right-of-way of North Hancock Street. On the world we live in, it dead ends at the guardrail and continues as the right-of-way. And as we speak, the neighbors, who are supposed to, under the city code, maintain that undeveloped right-of-ways, are the public entities, including the Water Bureau. And right now, I could go over to next door to the Bureau of Environmental Services, and I could get the map that says, or the poster that says, remove invasive species plants. And that's what Commissioner Fish is growing on that undeveloped right-of-way. And one of the plants that's on the property that's not on the list is hemlock. It's so toxic. We're not even supposed to allow it. And the city is growing it, Commissioner Fish, on city property. So when you're growing poisonous plants on the city-owned property, and I've talked about this for years, 5 years. I've been talking about this for 5 years, and you're still growing toxic plants on the city-owned property. Does that encourage us to allow you to do anything? Frankly, no. I don't have anything more to say. You can't follow your own agency's recommendations. I don't know what we're going to do with a city like that.
Thank you. Okay, next.
The next 3 are Crystal, Charles Johnson, and Debbie Kitchen. And they will be followed by Nancy Stuber, Brainard Brower, and Ibrahim Mubarak.
Crystal, go ahead.
Hello, Councilman Mayor. My name is Crystal Elinsky. I represent 10,000. And I am surprised to come here today to find that there's no aim for this purchasing. I don't understand why it's become so vague all of a sudden. that you want to purchase land, but you don't know what for and you're not making promises, where the media and the word on the street is that this is the final solution, I hate to use that, after all of these, I'll just say, kind of half-ass attempts to work with R2-D2, and now it seems like they're being closed off. So I don't understand really what the purpose is, if you could answer that in my remaining time. I'd like to see that whole area, especially around Ross Island, I'd like to see an environmental impact statement done. Even the waterfront down with the OHSU tram, there's never really been work on the brownfields, and so I'd really like to see that as well if you're going to make this purchase.
Thank you.
Could you answer my question?
No, again, I'll try to explain. The council has considered this parcel for a site to locate Right to Dream 2. That's a separate decision, which we will make after a public hearing. But before we can even think about that or any other use here on this property with anything, before we do anything about that, we have to own it. So the decision to purchase doesn't automatically decide that Right to Dream 2 is going there, but it does give the city the opportunity to do that at a later time.
Is there a deadline to purchase it?
Yes, ODOT wants, I don't know if there's a deadline, but ODOT wants us to say whether we're going to buy it or not.
Or they're selling it to someone else.
Yes.
Or they'll sell it to someone else.
Okay,
the city has a right to purchase from ODOT when they offer properties for sale.
Yeah, and we all have a right to dream, and we shouldn't be put in Wapato jail.
Thank you. Debbie, you're next.
Well, thank you, Mayor Hales and Commissioners, for the opportunity to speak. I'm Debbie Kitchen, President of the Central East Side Industrial Council. We are opposed to the City Council authorizing purchase of this property at this time. We think it is premature and not responsible when you haven't determined the use for it. I was also going to talk about just issues we have with homeless camps. You did link that with the press releases that went out, and so now we're not allowed to testify about it. We feel there hasn't been a process that involved the whole community in terms of bringing in experts, public planners, and the community at large to do a legitimate planning process. That's the basis of a lot of our planning. So we feel that it's very premature. We've been told the purchase of the property is not being proposed prior to determining if it will be the site for R2-D2, and we don't think it's prudent. If R2-D2 does not want to move to this site, is the city still obligated to find them another site? I think you should answer that question for their sake.
Yes. The
city of Portland should not purchase a site that comes with the risk of a potential environmental liability. Taxpayers should not be exposed to a potentially costly environmental cleanup. This property is an industrial sanctuary adjacent to other industrial and wholesale businesses. We have spent the last 2 years evaluating changes to our comprehensive plan to protect and enhance this vital employment district. The public purposes for which this property is being acquired have not been understood or evaluated. And you, even though you say you're going to do that process at a later time, I would like to know more about what that process is, because so far there's been very little information. We heard about this, you know, on Thursday. Is that going to happen the same way? You haven't really been very open about what your decision making is. We haven't had a legitimate planning process about the purposes for this property. So we are opposed to that. Purchase.
Okay, thank you.
Seems like they follow EPA regulation.
Okay.
When it
Crystal, please. Go ahead, Charles.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Charles Johnson, and definitely carpe diem, carpe terra, seize the land. Don't seize it, pay. Well, actually, I wish there was a mechanism where it was just public land transferred without any financial shenanigans from the people to the people. I'm more enthusiastic about this in hearing that there may be four or five additional parcels of ODOT land. We're not trying to make Blade Runner a reality. Yes, the Central East Side is an industrial workspace, a maker space. Those people are not robots. They need public areas and green spaces. St. Francis Park is going away. Find me some grass between the river and Washington High School. None. So Don't think of giving this land to the PDC or any of those parcels. Acquire this, put green space in. I kind of wish this could be a park close to the orange line, but R2D2 needs to go somewhere. We'll have that conversation in the future. But I definitely respect Debbie's position that we need to have a good working environment for people who go into the Inner East Side as a maker space. But I think that that can be done with buying this parcel, buying the other ones when they're available, and having a vigorous public discussion. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay.
The next three are Nancy Stuber, Brainerd Brower, and Ibrahim Mubarak, and they'll be followed by Trillium Shannon, Leo Rhodes, and Trish Reed.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning, Mayor Hales, commissioners. I'm Nancy Stuber, the president at the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, OMSI. And I'm not here to talk about the relocation of Right to Dream 2 because you have indicated that there will be another time to do that. And I appreciate your commitment to have a public process and a thorough hearing about that use. I would ask council to commit to create a collaborative process involving stakeholders around the planning issues related to the purchase of this property. And much like the issue we just heard before this one, and the Southeast Quad Plan process that we went through for 2 years, I'm convinced that we have people who are willing to look at common good and find uses, multiple uses, including a public use in the heart of the industrial east side if it meets the other conditions that are necessary for the whole district. So I would ask that you would move forward with a commitment to opening that discussion prior to the purchase of this property.
Thank you. Morning.
Yes, good morning. Hello, this is Brainerd Brower. I'm a resident. I did come down because of the use, so I guess I picked a very interesting day to observe council. It's been many years, so I might suggest that perhaps the proposed use should be stricken from the proposal at this time, but that's just a thought. There was one comment regarding the purchase of the property that there's some restrictions in place from ODOT, and I would be in support of restrictions and conditions that encourage that the property be maintained in an orderly manner that protects ODOT and protects city and residents in the community. So, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mubarak, go ahead.
Ibrahim Mubarak from Right to Survive, Right to Dream 2, and also I won't comment on the use, what the land use is going to be for. However, I would like to make some things I observed here. I don't agree to sexist statement that was made earlier against Amanda, Commissioner Amanda Fritz. I don't agree to the way the houseless community was treated when they tried to come in here. They was told to stand out when they let people in who lived in houses and wore suits. I think that's showing targeting, profiling, and discrimination. And you should learn to respect us because we are humans. I also would like to see you go 1 foot down more, because I think regulations, you had to dig 10 feet down to see if any toxic or any historical stuff is down. Like, that's what happened at the land where we at now. And I just want to make sure that you're not going to, if you're going, whatever you're going to use that land for, people is not going to be subject to an uprise of toxic waste coming in on them. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you. So I'm going to turn the gavel over to Commissioner Fritz as president of the council to continue the hearing. You'll have the option to either continue this to the 29th or make the decision today with the quorum of the council that's here, depending on what you see fit.
Giuliani, okay. Thank you.
Thank you all. See you.
Safe trip.
Thank you very much.
Next three, please.
Next three are Trillium Shannon, Leo Rhodes, and Trish Reed.
Good morning. I don't have a lot to say, but I would like to say we've been, my name's Trillium Shannon. I'm a co-founder and board member of Right to Dream 2. We've been in negotiations to find a place that is safe where we can continue doing what we're doing. Understand this particular hearing is about whether the city can buy this piece of land or not. I support the city buying the piece of land. We still, as a board, have to decide where we're going based on the needs of the houseless community. But I would like to echo that every time the houseless community, as we've done, has shown that we can self-organize in a safe manner. We have toilets, we have garbage disposal. We've been doing a great job for almost 4 years. And, you know, our neighbors like us. Charlie's Deli loves us. So, you know, we actually do have support in the neighborhood we're in now. And I find it a little disconcerting that we've offered to, I personally offered that we'd meet with the Central East Side Industrial Council. We've been meeting with neighbors. We are in a process. We're in a process with the city. We're in a process with the neighbors. We have nothing to hide. We're completely transparent. We'd like to share what our model is, and in fact, we do. We have people all over the state and coming from all over the nation to look at our model and to use it in their communities because it works. And so it's difficult to come to a hearing and find that people who I think do support Right to Dream 2 haven't come to necessarily ask us our position on this, and then people who don't support it just because of a homeless phobia, it looks like, you know. And I'd like people to just, again, open their hearts and their minds to the fact that people need a safe place to rest. And, you know, getting a spot on the inner southeast side is very different than what happened to Dignity Village, which I also supported Dignity Village, but Dignity Village got moved out really far. And I think that's what a lot of people would like to see. That does not serve the needs of people who need to move out of a situation that is very difficult and into a better situation. We are successful and transitional. So I know there's going to be a hearing on this later, but let's just say, yes, without seeing the proposal, I support it.
And if I could just remind later testifiers, we're talking about whether to buy the property. So if you could keep your remarks to that, that would be really helpful. Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were next. My name is Leo Rhodes. I'm a homeless advocate. Also, one of the founders of Right to Dream 2, board member of Right to Dream 2, and just a lot of other stuff. But yeah, so I do would like for you to propose or buy these properties. One of the things that I always hear as a homeless advocate is, why are these empty spaces out there when we have homeless people out on the streets? You know, one of the things we can do is work together and get some creative minds together of how to utilize these proposed lands. Just in the one night count, which they do every year or every other year, you know, you'll see the numbers that of the homeless people on out there. But yes, I would propose that you do accept these properties and use them, you know, that for creative reasons of helping the less fortunate out there. So thank you.
Hi, I'm Trish Reed. I am also a board member of Right to Dream 2, and I'm obviously in support of buying these properties. I think that it is a good way to deal with a very sad situation that the city has as far as a homeless community goes. And that's really all I have to say.
Thank you very much.
The last person who signed up is Sarah Carlton, but we've had requests for others to speak.
Okay. Anybody else wants to come up right now?
Don Gardner, you go ahead and speak. Okay. Is Sarah Carlton here?
Anybody else would like to testify as well as Sarah, and please come on up.
Hi, good morning. My name is Don Gardner. I'm the Vice President of Southeast Uplift. We understand that we're not to be talking about the purpose or the use of this land, but I want to make it clear that Southeast Uplift feels that the Central East Side is a vital part of our total community. And what we are concerned about is if there is a plan to buy up all of these state properties, we would like to see an open process that talks about what do we intend to do with them. Some of the big issues for Central East Side or for Southeast Uplift have been access to the river, development along the river, all these type of community-based things, and the industrial growth and manufacturing employment that happens in the east side. So what we would be most interested in is a listing of all of the properties that are potentially for sale, and some idea of what you're going to do. And I worked for the city for a number of years, as commissioners know. And this is the first time I've ever heard that we're going to buy a piece of property and we haven't theoretically have a use for that property, at least in mind. So I find it a little disingenuous to say, oh, but we're going to have a hearing about this other use at a future date, but we don't know what that future use will be, but that will be about X. So again, we would like to see some concern or some addressing of what all these properties are and what we would do with all of them. So thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning. Afternoon. How are you? Good morning, City Council members. Good morning, Amanda, my favorite fellow nurse. Good. Good morning, Commissioner Steve Novick. It's good to see you.
Put your name in the record, please.
Yes, Veronica Vernier. I'm a MICU retired nurse and public health worker out in the field. The reason I came to talk specifically today was to address Southeast. I wanted to recognize also Commissioner Dan Saltzman and his Trust for Public Land. Without his incredible help and responsibility, our members of our fire department and police department wouldn't be Johnny on the spot in those areas of the Southeast that we want so well served. And also Commissioner Nick Fish, you're doing a great job as usual. He gets seconds ahead of Dan all the time. They're running neck and neck like football players. A quarterback or running back. But I just want to speak to the issue and say that you guys are doing a great job. And also, I noticed our mayor stepped out. I want to say kudos to the mayor for pulling off that beautiful party in the park in front of Lloyd Center. That was wonderful. And it keeps the neighborhoods going. Whatever work you're doing now is always supported by us ladies out here who are retired nurses. And also, I want to say for those women in the Women's Air Corps, in the Navy, people like... just a lot of our Navy nurses and Army nurses, we support them in Silver Crest, the Salvation Army. And I know that you guys, there's a lot of Salvation Army retired ladies in the Southeast too. So thanks a lot for your time and good luck. Have a wonderful summer.
Thank you.
Commissioner, okay. I'm ready to vote. Can I ask a question of the sponsor?
Certainly.
What's the next milestone that you would anticipate engaging the council around?
The next milestone that will come back to council for a public hearing is likely later in the fall once we've decided what might be a good use for the site. Okay. Obviously, as the mayor said, the first thing is to continue the environmental assessment to make sure that it's a site that we do want to purchase, as some of the testifiers pointed out. If that happens, then we would, once the site is purchased, I would work with the mayor and Right to Dream 2 and the community on a good neighbor agreement in my if Right to Dream 2's board decides that yes, indeed, they think that's a viable site for them to move to. So then later in the summer, we would probably come to council with a proposed use and have a public hearing on that.
Thank you. It's an emergency.
Okay, so with that, it's an emergency ordinance roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick.
Aye.
Fritz. I'm sorry, Fish.
Aye.
Fritz.
Oh, I'm so glad I get to be last. I'm Madam President now. I informed my children that they need to call me Madam President all the time. I'm very happy that we've taken another step forward. There's a long way to go, and we will definitely work with Southeast Uplift, Central East Side Community, and Right to Dream 2, as well as PDC and others, depending on what the use turns out to be. Aye.
Just real quick, I just wanted to make sure, there was an amendment. Did I miss that? Was the amendment passed?
Oh, right. You.
Yeah, we voted on that.
We voted on it.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for your diligence.
Thank you for being vigilant.
Okay. So we just have a few more items, colleagues, a couple of which are emergency ordinances, so we need to do those. But first, let's go back to consent. And if you could please read the title for pulled item 770.
Mm-hmm. 770, authorize a competitive solicitation for the purchase of a mobile parking payment system at an estimated amount of $6,200,000.
Do we know who pulled this?
Commissioner Fish did.
This is your pulled item.
This item you pulled.
Yep.
The parking, mobile parking.
I understand. I was going to go to the restroom, but I'm happy to be called out.
You wanted to share your concerns as to why you pulled it?
So we could have a very brief presentation.
So basically, colleagues, we're talking here about making it possible for people to pay for parking meters by phone. And I'll now turn it over to Jody Yates and Melissa McCready to elaborate.
Thank you. My name is Jody Yates. I'm the interim parking group manager with the Bureau of Transportation. With me today is also Melissa McCready, who is our new parking operations division manager. The Bureau is bringing forward an ordinance which would allow the Bureau to solicit for services related to mobile pay for parking services or metered parking. This would also be known as pay by sell. This item is within the Bureau's two-year work plan. It has also been an item requested by the public to add additional payment methods that don't require physically walking to a meter. This is a benefit especially to those who have limited mobility. How it works in a very simplistic manner is that an individual parks in a metered area and then has a choice to either pay at the meter or to pay by phone. Of course, that would probably require a smartphone and they'd have to download an app, but it's not a requirement to pay by phone, but it's an option. If they choose to pay by the phone, they pay the parking fee plus a convenience fee. The city collects both the parking fee and the convenience fee, and then we would distribute the convenience fee to the vendor. Any agreement that we'd enter into would be a cost neutral to the Bureau. What we did was estimate the value over 5 years to be about $6.2 million, but really the cost is not truly known at this time. We based that on an expected number of transactions to go through the phone and then also an average fee. We assessed what other cities have paid, and it's a wide range. So it's just an estimate at this time.
Are there any questions?
Okay.
The first is, how much of the cost would we recoup from the convenience fee?
The convenience fee is a direct, say if it were 25 cents, we would recoup nothing. That's a pass-through cost. We would absorb the cost of the initial installation through our parking operations, but the convenience fee would be directly to the vendor.
Okay, and currently if you buy parking on the street, you get a little sticker, you put it in your car, mm-hmm. and that's how you avoid, assuming you put it in the right window, that's how you avoid getting a ticket. How would this work?
Most likely, the options we've seen right now are pay by, or you enter your license plate in, and so the way that's been explained to me is that the mobile app comes and tells our parking enforcement software, it uploads up into the for the parking enforcement officers, and they see that your license plate has been paid and you're current on your payment. So you would not display a little piece of paper in your window. So. But we don't know all the details at this time because we don't have a vendor in place.
This may be a dumb question, Commissioner Novick, but currently if there's no sticker, then you would automatically charge that vehicle. If there is a sticker, you would just look at it to see whether there's sufficient time left. What's the impact on our staff resources of a system that operates in this manner?
I think that if the technology works right, it should not be significant. But I'll defer to Jody.
He's correct. It is still, as the parking enforcement officers do go down the street, they're already entering the license plates into their handhelds. So they're already doing that kind of process. It would just be able to communicate back that the individual has already paid.
And I'm just curious, are there any privacy issues that are unique to this system? I mean, if I have a, you're not putting my driver's license, my car license in the system if I have a sticker, right?
No, we do actually evaluate that because we're also evaluating time stays. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I'm not even sure if I can articulate this correctly, but just something maybe to look at, but I realized in San Francisco there's some startup company that's in the business now of basically secondary sales of parking spaces. So somebody's parked in a space and they want to make that space available to somebody else to park there, that they're collecting some sort of a fee. And I guess that's certainly something we don't want to encourage through the system. I'm not even sure it would
defer.
Be, but just something to look at when you're doing your analysis.
There is an app that exists for what you're talking about, and I don't think that would be any part of this technology.
Right. Just
it's a separate issue altogether.
Okay. Yeah. Just something to look at.
This may take the sharing economy into areas we don't want to go.
Right.
So thank you.
I'm not exactly sure how the cost recovery comes. If the convenience fee doesn't go towards the $6.2 million, how are we expecting to get that back?
The 6.2 is over 5 years, so it's about $1 million a year is what we're anticipating. That's the value of all of those convenience fees each year is $1 million, and so that would be the value to a vendor.
So basically, Commissioner, the $6.2 million is essentially the amount that we do expect people who use this option to basically pay to the vendor. So basically, if people are using this option, the vendor we will charge the 35 cents or whatever it winds up being, and that will go to the vendor.
So we're not paying anything for the system?
No.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
I appreciate that clarification.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anybody want to testify on this item? Mr. Lightning?
Yes, my name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Watchdog X. Now, my understanding, you currently do not have a vendor picked out. Have we done studies in other areas that show the results of what this might do? Also, on that 25-cent fee that goes back to the vendor, could we negotiate that even after the amount of that $6+ million is paid off, utilizing that fee, that we can continue to receive that fee to the city? Does that have to end? Because once you end up paying that $6 million off for the equipment, does that just end and go back to the vendor, or can we continue to have it go back to the city?
Mr. Lightning, it's not $6 million. The $6 million doesn't pay for the equipment. That's just an estimate of the fee that people who choose to pay by phone will wind up paying to the vendor directly. So it's not a matter of we're buying equipment and then we're covering the cost. It's a matter of we're basically setting up an arrangement where people will be able to pay that fee to the vendor that's operating the system.
Okay, but to determine that overall fee and the payment back, my understanding there'd have to be some type of a cost calculated on some form of equipment or something to the vendor. And that's what I'm just asking is that at a certain point, can that money, that additional amount, go back to the city and not to the vendor?
No, because the idea here is that we're giving people the option of basically paying a vendor a certain number of cents in order to be able to pay by phone. So it's almost a pass-through.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. This is an emergency ordinance. Please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish.
I appreciate this hearing. When we were reviewing the agenda on Monday, it wasn't clear what this is, and Steve, we wanted some additional information. I think the questions that we've asked and the dialogue here has been helpful. Also, I think just in terms of good practice, my preference is that for items, for solicitations of this amount, they be on the regular agenda and not the consent. And I know we're in the process of tweaking our policies, but I would encourage us to do that.
I think that's quite reasonable.
Thank you for the discussion. Aye.
Fritz.
The discussion. Aye. Thank you. Just a time check, folks. We all need to stay here because we've got a couple more things to do. Similarly to my colleagues, Commissioner Saltzman and Commissioner Novick, this afternoon there will just be three of us, so there will be no. We'll have to take a recess if anybody needs to take a break. So just be aware of that. Could you read the title to 772, please? Mm-hmm.
Amend fee schedule for the Office of Neighborhood Involvement Noise Control Program.
I'm going to pull this back to my office, and just so you know, I'm not going to be bringing the other noise issues on July 29th, as we had previously discussed. We'll have a little more community process and then bring back a package. Let's see. 777, please.
Accept bid of Brown Contracting, Inc. for the East Portland Rapid Flash Beacon Project for $698,526.
Christine Moody, Procurement Services. You have before you a procurement report recommending a contract award to Brown Contracting. The engineer's estimate on this project was $893,672. On May 21st, 2015, five bids were received, and Brown Contracting is the low bidder at $698,526. The Portland Bureau of Transportation has reviewed the bid items and accepts the proposed pricing at 28% under the engineer's estimate. The city identified 7 divisions of work for potential minority, women, and emerging small business subcontracting opportunities, and MWESB subcontracting participation on this project is at 7.6%, with work being performed by a woman-owned business for traffic control. I will turn this back over to council if you have any questions about the bidding process. And there are representatives from the contractor and the Bureau of Transportation here.
So the minority and women number is not good.
That's correct.
Is there anything we can do about that?
I'll ask Sean from Brown Contracting to come up here.
Morning or afternoon. I'm Sean Emmerich with Brown Contracting. Just to address your question, we've worked on numerous projects with the City of Portland that have these type of requirements, MWSB requirements, not just the female, but the minority also. This project in particular is real heavy. It's a rapid flash, you know, transportation issue. It's real heavy and electrical. So a good 45-50% of the work is electrical. The remaining work is what we do ourselves, which is like excavation, concrete, and asphalt patching type stuff. So the opportunities for minority and female participation is pretty minimal other than the electrical scope. We tried real hard to get electrical subcontractors to work on it. 5 or 6 different companies we solicited. None of them would bid on it, too busy doing other stuff. We got 5 or 6 bids with other electricians. None of them met those qualifications, so we tried.
Thank you for your efforts, and thanks for that explanation. That's helpful. Thank you. Does anybody want to testify on this? This is a non-emergency ordinance, so it moves to second reading.
It's a report.
It's a report. Thank you very much.
Move to accept the report.
Second.
Thank you. Roll call.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
We're very excited about getting these beacons installed and making life safer for people in East Portland.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
And thanks to Representative Shamia Fagan for securing money to help with this and other safety improvements in East Portland. Aye. Now we can move to 778, which is our final item this morning.
Amend transportation code for designated parking management plan districts and procedures for towing vehicles.
Commissioner Novick.
Colleagues, this item is technical as all get out, so I'm not going to say a darn thing. Just turn it over to Jody.
Thank you, Commissioners. My name is Jody Yates. I'm the interim parking group manager. With me today is Mark Friedman, who is the parking enforcement division manager. In front of you are some code amendments to help assist the Bureau with our implementation of the Northwest Parking Plan and the Central East Side Parking Management Plan. As a reminder, City Council adopted the Central East Side Plan in June of 2012 and the Northwest Parking Plan in July of 2013. In order to implement the plans as adopted, some code amendments are necessary. And before you are basically, there are 3 main items that they address. The first one allows persons who are parking to repark in these 2 parking management districts. That's currently not allowed. These are large area parking permit areas, and this applies to those people who would not have parking permits. So, again, Northwest is rather large. I don't remember the entire boundary, but if you were visiting in one area and you stayed for 2 hours up in that area and physically moved your vehicle, you would be allowed to repark. Also in Northwest, people will be allowed to extend their stay without moving their car. That's if they're at a meter. And then also in Northwest, we are creating a hybrid districts of meters and parking permits, and the current code doesn't allow that to occur. So these code amendments allow everything to be put in place per the adopted plans. And they've been through city attorney review.
Questions? Thank you very much. Does anybody want to testify on this? Wow. Nice job. Roll call, please.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Novick?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Fritz?
I want to highlight something that some of my staff were not aware of, that if you're in a permit parking area, you have to move to a different block face, not just move your car one spot along. I know that from bitter experience. Thank you very much for your work. I hope this works out well. And thanks to the community who worked so hard on this. Aye. We are recessed till 2 o'clock.
Sure, I will be